You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Breaker, breaker, breaker one line. Is there anybody out there? I've been running this road for the first time. Sure like to know what's ahead.
I don't know if you know this, folks, but there's a fellowship of Christian hypnotists out there. FCH, well, I guess it's fchypnotists.com. I'm just going to spell the whole thing out, but I'm pretty sure most of you can spell hypnotists. fchypnotists.com. Welcome to the Fellowship of Christian Hypnotists. Is hypnosis a joke? Absolutely not. Hypnosis is simply magnified concentration attached to a belief system. Is it really possible to be someone else or act a certain way just because of a suggestion? And the joke on the website is, ever been married? I thought that was a good one. That kind of won me over right there. So let's talk to the man behind this organization, Dr. H. I appreciate you being on the show.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for having us. We're honored to be here.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you the same questions that get asked all the time. There's a lot of people listening to the Christian radio station here in Toronto that is kind of, you know, their head is to one side. They're going, huh? Are you kidding me? How can you have a Christian hypnotist? So let's talk about the Christian part of this first. You know, I hate to do this to you, but can you convince us that you really are a follower of Christ? I mean, apparently you're even a preacher.
Oh, absolutely. I've been in the ministry for over 26 years. I've been pastoring at College Heights Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas. And that website is chbclubbock.org. They can check that out. But absolutely, it's something that I've been fascinated with for years. I've also been an illusionist for those same amount of years. And in fact, we're in the middle of rehearsal, and I'm glad to stop our rehearsal long enough to take some time here to be on with your audience. And thanks again for that. But you'll find that biblically, if you're looking for a biblical background, King David was really the first recorded hypnotist, as far as I'm concerned. He would play a harp, speak words, and the king's countenance would change, all right? So in other words, today, we do pretty much the same thing, even in our churches, our football fields, you know, even you, whenever you speak, one who's in authority, people automatically assume that that's absolute fact. And if they believe in that, that's their belief system. And if somebody believes in something with all their heart, then they're going to have a reaction to that. But, oh, King David, he would play a harp and he would speak words and the king's countenance would change. When people come into my clinic, a lot of times we'll sit down, we'll play some music, I'll speak some words, and if it's words that are put together in the right phrase and they say, you know, that just makes common sense, and that they assume that's their new belief system, then they walk out. You can call it positive influence, you can call it meditation, you can even use the word hypnosis if you choose. But once again, you're absolutely right. It's magnified concentration attached to a belief system.
Well, then I should be able to do it then, Dr. H. I mean, if I'm going to sit down with a buddy who comes up to me and says, hey, look, can we get together and talk? My marriage is in trouble. And we sit down over a pint and we're having a good, you know, conversation. And I'm just saying, buddy, just, you know, don't quit yet. You know, it's not as bad as you think. You know, the light at the end of the tunnel, and here are some good qualities, and think about the original reason you got married, and blah, 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 blah. And there's nice music in the background. I don't know. Am I performing hypnosis?
In its essence, absolutely. Our teachers in schools do the same thing. Once you get somebody's undivided attention, and you can help them to change their perspective in a little way to where they look at it just a little bit different, they go, you know what? That seminar or that speaker, man, it just ignited me. It changed my perspective. Preachers do it all the time. You as a radio broadcaster, you're doing it consistently all the time. Drew, have you ever
I'm doing it just by putting people to sleep, I think is kind of how it works.
Well, actually, have you ever been driving down the road and maybe listen to the radio and maybe for a couple of hours and you don't remember the last town that you went through? You didn't run any red lights, you didn't kill anybody, and you made it safely because subconsciously you know how to drive.
Are you saying that whatever I was listening to or thinking about put me under hypnosis?
People think that, absolutely. You ever daydreamed?
Yeah, not as much as I did when I was a kid, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing. People think it's a trance-like state, and it's not really as much as a trance-like state, as much as just positive, you know, focusing and concentration. Our kids do it all the time. They're watching cartoons. The parents walk right in front of the TV. And it's like they don't even see the parents. It's almost like being hallucinogenic, okay?
Yeah.
You say, I can't find my car keys. And because you spoke that, you walk right by them, and then your mate points them and says, look, there they are. And sure enough, there they are right in front of you. Or you've gone to the refrigerator, so I can't find the ketchup. And you open it up, and sure enough, you don't see it because you gave yourself that suggestion.
You know, one of the things you just reminded me of there, Dr. H, is in some of the denominations out there, they do that whole speak a word into someone's life. And I remember I said one time on the radio show something derogatory about myself because I'm into self-defamation. That's kind of my spiritual gift. And they called in. They said, don't say that. You know, you're speaking a bad seed into your life. You know, if you say it, it will become true. Are you getting that? Does that jive with what you're on about?
No, what I'm saying is if it only becomes true is if you believe it to be. And, for example, I travel all over the country. I do shows for the military. I do shows for churches. I do them for youth camps. And we go back and we explain to them what real meditation is. We explain to them about the how to focus and concentrate. But the human mind is no different than me being at a drama team and say, listen, I want you to give me your best impersonation of Britney Spears. And then if that person chooses to do that, they'll get up and just have the time of their life. Now, can I partially say, Drew, listen to me. The sound of my voice is going to be very calming to you, very relaxed to you. In this conversation, you're going to feel the desire to write me a $1,000 check and send it to me. You know, if that was true, my bank account would be full.
Okay, hold on. You've just touched on a huge nerve because I want to know if the best hypnotist out there is Benny Hinn.
You know, if you ask me my own personal influence, okay, based on my religious background, based on my scientific background, and based on just being in the background of the industry, I would say that people in the religious community, they may be unaware of it, but they're performing, in a sense, the same identical things that I or you or anyone else could perform on a stage. If you wanted to me to train you in hypnosis, you would come down here, spend about 4 days with me, or five, depending on what you're needing, and you'd walk out, and if you just follow the same concept that I'm doing, then you could do the same thing that I'm doing. Well, if I was to walk onto a stage, whether it be a Benny Hinn or anybody else, okay, and they looked up at me and said, oh my gosh, this man is so in touch with God that he can just walk up and touch people, and they're slain in the spirit. Now, I'm not trying to cause controversy here.
No.
I'm not trying to run anybody down, but you've asked me my own personal perspective.
Yep.
And I'm a firm believer that in that setting, absolutely, that people want to believe it so bad that if I blow in this microphone, well, let's face it, if the Spirit of God operated in that way, I could walk out to the mall and do the same thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really happen unless you're in a stage environment.
A receptive environment.
Absolutely. If people believe it's absolutely real and they want to believe it bad enough, then I guarantee you it is 100% real to them.
All right. We are on the phone with Dr. H, who is behind the organization Fellowship of Christian Hypnotists. And honestly, you know, I've said this to you already. When I first came across that, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And you must deal with that all the time, eh?
Oh, I do. But you know, the word Christian means Christ-like. It doesn't mean that it's a denomination. It just means that we're Christ-like in the way that we operate and we perform and believe in our life, okay? Very few people who call themselves a Christian would I even assume to be Christian in a lot of essence, you know? But to be Christ-like, I believe that you could be a Christ-like as a judge or a lawyer or as a teacher or a radio announcer or even as an entertainer. So the word Christian should not be shocking to people that someone's, I'm also a gospel illusionist, and people say, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's a Christian doing magic. And I say, well, first of all, let's stop and think. If it was real magic, would I need boxes? If it was real magic, would I be doing rehearsals today?
Right.
You know? And if it was, and same thing with psychics and everything else. If the psychics today were real, they always say for entertainment purposes only, which is good. But if it was real, then, Drew, then every psychic today ought to be cited for treason for not alerting the United States military for 9/11.
Very well said.
And every psychic should have already won the lottery by now.
Yeah, well, exactly. I always want to know why the psychics are always, you know, poor in some shack set up somewhere or whatever, you know?
Well, if they call me, they ask me for my name. Shouldn't they know that?
Yeah, bing, bing, bing. Right, okay. All right, so
this plays a major factor.
You know, this thing first jumped into my head when, and I'm sure most parents have gone through this, the local high school where your children are attending put on a hypnotist show. and some guy comes in, and you hear the stories, you know, throughout the neighborhood, especially in a small town. Oh, did you hear about the show on Friday night? The hypnotist came, and Bob was up there, and he was barking like a dog, and Susan was up there, and she was just about to undo or, you know, take all her clothes off, and he stopped her just in the nick of time, and my kids go, oh, I want to go see that, and I'm like, my first response is, you know what? I don't know enough about this for me to give you the okay. I really don't know if it's all, you know, demony or satanic or nasty evil stuff that Jesus, you know, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus go to a hypnotist a seminar, a conference or whatever? So that's how this thing kind of came into my head. And I guess I got to ask you, you know, would you suggest that it would be totally fine for Christian parents to allow their kids to go to a hypnotist thing at the high school?
You know, I think it all boils back to your own ethics and your personal convictions. Personally, not all hypnotists out there are going to be ethical, okay? Everything could be, I mean, cocaine in the hands of a doctor that does no surgery is a wonderful thing. But cocaine in the hands of a pusher is a different thing altogether. Well, same way with entertainment. Any form of entertainment can be abused. You know, dancing may be totally acceptable. In a lot of churches, it's acceptable. In a lot of other churches, it's not. So, you know, it depends on the people and their background they're raising. But people of God should not live in fear. The Bible says we're to rightly divide the Word of God, and we're to try the spirits and all that. But the question is what you're seeing actually attached to a spirit? You know, I personally don't think that everything is, but are there hypnotists out there that would like to get somebody to believe that they have a supernatural effect? And could they actually, you know, maybe coerce someone to maybe do something that maybe they probably wouldn't have done?
Well, come on. Yeah,
absolutely.
But hold on. Let's get to the bottom of this. If I go to a hypnotist, got to be careful how I say this. If I go to a hypnotist show, and they got some guy up there, and he's making people do stuff. Let's just break down that phraseology right there. He's making people do stuff that they wouldn't normally do. You're trying to convince me that these people really do want to do that because they're a receptive spirit or person. And I'm kind of looking at that going, dude, I know Johnny Bravo. That's a character from the Brady Bunch. Anyway, I know Johnny. And there's no way he would want to walk around thinking he was Paris Hilton. Not in a million years. And when he sees the video afterwards, he's just totally embarrassed. That person looks like they were making them do that stuff, the hypnotist.
Well, first of all, you have to say, if they're making them, then you're saying that there's actually some kind of kinetic power attached to that individual.
Yeah.
And there's not. Once again, we are a society, from the time we're raised up as a child up to our teenage years, we've been told what to do, when to do it, where to do it, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. So we are already mentally conditioned to follow authority. And it's no different than a coach. He's going to motivate these kids to do things more than they... Well, there was one just recently, and I don't know about mentioning the movie or not, but it's called Facing the Giants. And he gets out there, and he has the guy blindfolded. And he says, just give me 10 more. He says, I can't. Yes, you can. I can't. He's simply using words to motivate. And the guy, before long, he crosses the whole entire goal line. So can we do that in a show? Yes. Can we do that in a church? Absolutely. Can we do that in a school environment? Yes. Can you totally change my political views by me listening to your radio show? Absolutely. Because we are conditioned from childhood up to listen to authority, and if we believe that that authority is the absolute, then that becomes our belief system. And when it becomes your belief system, you can literally walk on fire. You know, and of course, we all know that's a trick.
Okay, so, explain to me the trance side of this, because there's the whole when I snap my fingers, you'll come out of it and you won't remember, or I don't know, every time I whistle, you know, explain to me the trance part of it, because that's the part of it that I kind of, I reel back on, because I'm pretty sure that the scriptures that I've read have encouraged me to not allow the openness of my mind like that, to always kind of have a guard up there, and whenever I am, even soul searching, I'm to do that with God's wisdom and strength and invitation into my life.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing is, you have to understand that we are so accustomed to what we call subliminals, whether it be through TV or advertising, whether we know it or not, we are dynamically affected by the information that we receive. And if we receive enough of that information over and over and over, then that becomes a belief system. So if I have you on our stage and I say, Drew, listen, I want you to be Elvis Presley. I'll give you your best impersonation. Now, if Drew, if you did not really like Elvis Presley, There's nothing I can do to make you be Elvis Presley. I mean, I've performed thousands of shows, and I'll tell you, there are people, I ask them to be Britney Spears, and they just flat don't like Britney Spears. They will not do it. They refuse.
Well, so, then do you not look like a putz when you ask people to do stuff and they don't do it? That your whole show is down the gurgler.
Absolutely not. I just tell people, I say, just once again, another convincer that it's really up to the individual. And I go to the next person. I say, now, would you like to do it? They go, yeah. Then I say, close your eyes, sleep, boom. And they look like they go down. But I've already conditioned them. I told them that you're going to look like this. You're going to feel good. And you know what? People become so relaxed because they focused, you know, and they like it so much that some people, you ask them to perform, and they just lay there in a chair. But here's the final question, okay? Have you ever gone to the hospital to visit a friend of yours who's been locked in a hypnotic coma, you know, because of a hypnotist? You know, and they've been in it for 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, even 1 year. Never have. And you really never will. Because, once again, it's a mind state. And if you put your mind to something and you believe it and you go for it, there's unlimited ability of what you can do. People come to me to stop smoking. You smoke for 30 years. And I convinced them by the time they leave that when they leave here, they're going to be able to walk out of here as a non-smoker. And I've got hundreds upon hundreds of people who walk out as a non-smoker without any withdrawals or anything. Now, there are some who come that still decide, hey, I want to smoke. But once again, I try to make absolutely for sure that they are ready to quit, and they just need someone to nudge them forward. And that's really what hypnosis is. It's just that little bit of a nudge. And if somebody, let's say that you don't drink. You talked about drinking a pint a while ago, okay? Well, let's say that somebody doesn't drink at all, and you gave them 6 things to drink. Well, at that point, they're a little bit more relaxed. They're more apt to do something like dance on the table with a shade on their head or say something really stupid or act stupid because they're in that really relaxed state. Is that a trance-like state? It's more of a relaxed state. Can you actually make somebody go completely against their morals? No, you can't. Not unless they, deep down, if you're, let's say you had a wife or a girlfriend that said, I would never do a pole dance. And they tell you that. But deep down, they fantasize about possibly doing that. Then would they possibly do it in a show? Absolutely. Because you just help break down that fear factor.
Dr. H is on the phone with us, and he is the gentleman behind Fellowship of Christian Hypnotists, and that's the website, fchypnotist.com, fchypnotist.com. If you want to go there and check it out and find out more about it, I'm sure you'd be happy to get some emails from people who are trying to figure this out. You'd be okay with that?
Oh, absolutely. That's why the website's there, simply to educate and let people know you don't have to live in fear. Now, is it going to be for everybody? Well, roller skating's not for everybody. Going to the movies, if a hypnotist could take and totally alter you, then, and they say, well, we're going to sue a hypnotist over that. Well, then what about the movies? How many people gone to the movies that had nightmares because of it?
Yeah.
Well, common sense is that we are going to have a reaction to whatever we go to and whatever we assume. In my show, I may have 50 people on stage and 40 people decide to stay. Well, 10 said, I don't want to do this, and they step down. So, once again, who's in control?
All right.
They are.
And that's a good point. And the last two things I want to bring up just real quick, what are the scriptures that people throw out at you and they say, but the Bible says, yada, 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 and you shouldn't be doing this?
Oh, everything from the curious arts and all that. And I tell people up front, if I as an entertainer am trying to tell you that I have magical powers or that I have anything out there, well, first of all, I'm a deceiver. But if I tell you up front that, you know, I'm a gospel illusionist or a Christian hypnotist, and that what we're going to do is show you how powerful the mind is that God gave you, that he's a creator, and that makes us, in a sense, a creator in a sense. We create our own perceptive of what absolute belief is and what religion is, and the only reason why I choose to believe in Jesus Christ because I had enough information that said, you know, that must be real. But when I trusted Christ as my Savior, Drew, something supernatural really did happen. It changed the way I look at life, and my heart was changed. So somebody said, well, Dr. H, how do you know there's a God? Well, then you tell me what it was that caused the change in my heart and my life, if there is no God.
Okay, so you're convinced of the supernatural. So in doing what you do, knowing what you know, and seeing the rest of the people in your industry that do what they do, have you ever come across a hypnotist who uses evil?
I believe that anybody can take and assume that role And if they can convince somebody of it, then absolutely.
In other words, they're a better hypnotist. And one of the reasons they're a better hypnotist and they have more actual control over people is because they actually have bought into to the dark forces or whatever, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, there's light and there's dark. There's good preachers, bad preachers. There's gospel preachers. There's satanic preachers, you know. I mean, it's whatever role that person assumes in their life they want to portray. If somebody's willing to follow that persona of that person, then it's the absolute belief system, whether it be a cult or whether it be Christian, whether it be Jewish, whatever. Whatever information that person received by the person that gave it, if that person that gave it says, hey, I have these gifts and I'm getting it from a different source other than your God, I'm getting it from a dark God, and people buy into that, then absolutely that's going to happen.
Okay, well, and that brings me to my final point, and you and I talked about this on the phone earlier this week. I was always taught by my prof at Moreland College in Australia, Dr. Ross Clifford, a great man,
right,
that we need to be more concerned with the practitioner than the practice, because it's what the practitioner believes that is the dangerous part, as opposed to the practice. In other words, massage therapy or, you know, meditation, that kind of stuff that, you know, a lot of Jesus people get kind of hokey over. I don't want anybody laying their hands on me as a massage therapist if they're thinking they're peeling back my auras and are going to change my energy field, and if they're worshiping Satan at night or whatever. So if I don't know much about the practitioner, the traveling hypnotist, for example, then I'm not going to send my kids to go watch this thing and be
absolutely
part of it, just because I don't know.
Absolutely. I think that's just being a good parent. And why in the world, with all the stuff that's out there, what parent in their right mind would just say, hey, go out unless they themselves are attending it? And I always have parents attending our shows, and I tell them up front in our shows that if their children come up, I make the parents come with them, and then I say, do I have your permission to show you how your children can benefit from this? They go, absolutely. And then, of course, children are so susceptible, and teenagers, and, of course, college kids, they really want to have fun, that they're willing to really believe it and go into it, and they have a great time. And some people say, well, it was like being asleep. It was like, but let's face it, if you were asleep, if I said on count of five, open your eyes, you wouldn't open your eyes.
Right.
Because you're asleep. So they're consciously aware at all times. But the final thing is, never send your kids anywhere that you yourself couldn't go. And if you don't know the people, then show up. It's kind of like the Internet. Don't let your kids surf the Internet unless you're the best software in the world to protect your kids on the Internet is a parent standing over their shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. Well, very well.
Just good common sense.
Very well said. I appreciate your time. I know you've had these questions a lot, and really, I think your money, where you can make your real money, is if you can help us parents with the hypnosis stuff, and we could kind of change our kids and get them to clean up their stinking room. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But anybody,
absolutely,
if you just want to take and go through the breathing techniques, let's face it, Lamaze for,
yep,
giving birth, they use the same techniques, breathe in, breathe out,
yep,
focus, concentrate.
As Bill Cosby says, zi-wah, zi-wah, push, push.
Absolutely. But when Jesus walked on the water, they didn't understand it, so they said, oh, it must be a demon. And he wasn't. He was the Son of God. But
yeah,
when people don't K-N-O-W enough, they always say N-O. Educate themselves, have them get in their Bible and follow through. And if their spirit says, don't go, don't go. You know, but do seek out a good Christian hypnotist if it can help you and your family. And I thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thanks, buddy. Good to chat with you. Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I never thought I'd have that conversation. That was interesting. And I'm not trying to lean one way or the other, folks. I'm just getting it out there for you guys to talk about it at the water cooler or at the dinner table or at your small group or homely group or whatever it is you do. Okay? That was fun. Coming up next, director David DeSabatino. He directed an incredible documentary called Frisbee, The Life and Death of a Hippie Preacher. The small group that I kind of go to, a bunch of couples that kind of hang out and chew through the Word of God, chew through Jesus stuff and Christian life. And we watched this, and it was interesting, man. It really, really, Emmy nominated. Check this out. This film reveals the tortured journey of an American closeted gay hippie Pentecostal evangelist and self-described seeing prophet and mystic in the late 60s and 70s. Lonnie Frisbee was a key figure in the Jesus movement and became the charismatic spark igniting the rise of two worldwide denominations, Chuck Smith's Calvary Chapel and the Vineyard Movement. Bet you didn't know that. When we come back, we'll talk about Lonnie Frisbee, and then we'll open up the phone lines to you guys. Do you see anything wrong with Christians going to horror movies? Is that bad? Is that a bad thing? We'll be back. No matter what comes my way.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.